I'm just going to go through to some of the personality of David.
Okay.
He says, I built all these Georgian houses. We're talking about 15 to 25,000 square foot houses. Young people are not going to build that way. They still are up in Greenwich, but that's the last blast. We can't afford to. We're not going to be able to afford to.
Mm-hmm.
And so most people can't do that anymore, can they?
Well, I mean, you can. There's still plenty of money out there to build big houses if that's what you want. But I think David's looking at it, or did look at it, as almost a moral thing. Should we be building houses like this? Because they cost, I mean, it puts a lot of people to work and does a lot of good in a lot of ways, you know, in the industry of parts, professional people that do beautiful things. But these houses, you know, they take lots of people to run them. They take, it just takes an endless amount of everything to make all this work all the time. And is that how somebody wants to live? And it's most of our clients' kids don't want to live like that, I would say.
Mm.
You know, they don't want to live like that anymore. They don't want the silver you have. They don't want the furniture you have, you know. So it's just, it's very funny.
So it gets sold in a garage sale somewhere.
Yeah. Or it goes to auction. And it used to be like English furniture, but it was so funny. I mean, how the furniture market is, English furniture has gone through such a slump. I mean, you can, if it goes to auction, it just doesn't bring prices that it did, let's say in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s, and the early 2000s. Now it just, you know, kind of like nobody wants brown furniture. And it's beautiful. And even fine French furniture, people don't necessarily want to buy that. There are obviously people that still do, but you know, there was quite a market for it. Now, not so much.
We're always giving credit to the English, to the French, and others, I suppose, about their design. Did American architecture influence foreign countries?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Probably. I would think so. Because I mean, it probably melds together. I would say it wouldn't, you know, because we picked up things from the English and French, and we made it sort of American in a lot of ways. There was a great architect in Chicago by the name of David Adler who was very adept at taking different vocabularies of architecture and making absolutely beautiful houses, and they're still beautiful. And they could be French, they could be English, but maybe with a toned down a bit, but making them somewhat American, I guess. But I think people still look, you know, they pick up things from everywhere. It's mm-hmm. It's just a mixed ball game, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't say that the people would come to America to see what we do, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
David said that books are such an important part of my life. They fill the bookshelves in my room. Let's talk about books, because that was part of, and he says, I have more than 4,000 books. That's a plea for help, he said. It's like having 4,000 plus friends entertain, educate, and give you comfort. So talk about books in his life and how much reading he did.
Yeah. David was, he's a voracious reader. I mean, it could be anything. It could be about things that he was interested in as far as his profession, which would interest him. But it was also just any subject. If he got interested in it, he'd start to read about it. And he never read novels, so to speak, but he read history. And that's what he was interested in. And then, you know, he did so many lectures over the years that, you know, he'd do a lecture, let's say, on the Grand Tour. So then he'd buy every book that he could find on the Grand Tour, and he'd start to read about it. And then he'd underline things, and then he'd start to figure out what to do. And then he'd get the slides together. That's when we had slides, and all that had to be coordinated, and he would give a lecture. But he also taught school for a couple of years when he first got out of Pratt, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, he taught at Parsons. He taught the history of design.
Okay, so we have books for reading,
mm-hmm.
but you also have books as interior design, decorating.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess they become decorating, but I mean, we have books on decorating, on gardening, on furniture, on painting, on just you name it.
Right. But in your other room there, mm-hmm. you have a table with books on it.
Yeah.
And in your design studio, you have books here, books there.
Yeah, well, it's part of how we like to decorate, let's so to speak.
Okay, that's what I'm leading.
It makes, I mean, David would be horrified if he walked into somebody's house and they had no books. He'd be just like, well, he wouldn't understand that. Books were a part of his life. And it for him, it's somebody who would be maybe bereft of curiosity, I guess. Because he was always curious about anything and everything. It just didn't matter. And he would buy books on things. And he just loved to read and learn. He loved to learn.
And then, like, I thought you were going to say, if he walked into a room and he saw just a plain table with nothing on it, that would probably bother him.
Well, yeah, in some ways. And in some ways, I mean, some interiors, if that's what you've got, it can look absolutely beautiful. But I think for David, he couldn't imagine that necessarily. I mean, it would look like the room didn't have a soul to him. Mm-hmm. You know, that books are life.
Right. And you want a lived-in feeling, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, you want to look like you live there. Somebody lives there.
Right. They asked him his attitude toward money. And he says, well, I realize as I've gotten older, that's important to have accumulated in terms of what people have generally. Not a lot, but enough that I know that I could survive. He says, this apartment, which I know it's vulgar to say, but it only costs $834 in maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I can pay that. And this project we're working on, the modular house down in Charlottesville, Virginia, and I'm going to go teach and live there. So then that's his attitude about money. Talk about Charlottesville, Virginia.
Well, that's where the house for the Kluges was in Charlottesville, Virginia, outside of Charlottesville. And at one point, we thought we would go down there and build a house. And David thought, David never really wanted to retire, but he thought, well, maybe I would teach. I would go to the University of Virginia and I would teach in the architecture school or the design school or whatever. And, you know, teach a couple of courses. And, you know, I would still be working, but that would be fun to do. I would like to do that, which he probably could have done. We just never did it. We never went. Once they got a divorce and then it got, I don't know, it got sort of complicated. And we thought, no, let's don't go do this. So we didn't.
All right. So we're talking about houses.